You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Did you ever hear the story of Icarus, who continually rolled the ball up the hill? But when he got too close, the ball melted in the heat of the sun. You're all like Icarus.
For the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up? Welcome to episode 235 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out in the Crespediso studio doing that thing on another Sunday. The current threat level is beige. Threat level is beige. Continue to defy your pronouns. Weather update, your weather update for the week. Man, we had hail here, and like the power went out on the 4th of July. That shit was wild.
It's ridiculous.
So I hope that helps you wherever you are. That's your weather report, the traffic report. I-4 is a mess. Oh, God.
Oof. I messed up the traffic report for the last 15 years.
That's why it's a reliable traffic report, ladies and gentlemen. That's Drew Sikagwa and Drew.
I-4 has been a mess for like ever since I've come to Orlando.
It is always a mess.
It's ridiculous.
I agree. Yeah. 100%. How are you doing?
Doing okay.
How are your battles on I-4?
Battles? I mean, I don't really battle on I-4 anymore. I try to stay off of I-4.
Good for you, man. Staying off I-4.
As much as possible.
That's how it's done.
Only hit the highway unless I absolutely need to. I will travel the extra 20 minutes to get there as opposed to going on I-4.
The highways and the byways?
I'll take the byways.
You'll take the byways as opposed to the highways? To take those 20 minutes?
Damn straight.
The extra 20?
Why not? That's better than dealing with I-4 traffic.
Taking a stand. Juicer takes a stand. That's our new segment. Juicer takes a stand. thank you, Drew, for this week's stance. Juicer stance. We're going to work on the name of that one. The Juicer stance is the final level of yoga that I'm working on. That last move after the Lotus.
After the Lotus, it's the Juicer.
The Juicer stance. And it's a combination of downward dog, Tai Chi style horse stance, and like the hand motion you make when you're holding tongs and
you're just making stuff up now.
It's a lot like this. With us, returning guest, 12 times maybe? I'm not even that sure anymore.
I think it's 12.
Man, that's crazy. Steve Etchy is here. Etchy. Steve Etchy!
You should make him his own sound effect.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like he should have his own like wrestling intro music.
Right? Oh, yeah.
For now on, this is what Etchy sounds like. Go ahead.
Etchy.
Etchy.
There you go. Yeah, remember to save that part, and then every time he comes, you hit the button.
Etchy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then when I say hi, that's it.
I'll just hit the button. and I'll replace which one? I'll replace this one. I don't really use this one too often anyway. I try to work it in the conversation, but it doesn't work as well.
Really? Why don't you just put smaller buttons on there? At least you can get more.
That's what I have the other app for.
That just seems like you could use a lot.
What, this one?
Yeah.
It could.
Yeah.
If I'm paying more attention, I guess.
Dropping bombs.
What we're saying. You know? We are doing it every week. We're talking about, oh, it's this week's bomb, but then I could just use this one. This one doubles for many things.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
So. But, like, if you played that and then it was, like, truth bomb.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah, sure. I could probably move this one there, but then now I got it anyway. So, this one has smaller buttons. But then there's half a screen. So, guys, we're doing episode 235 of Cinema Crespediso. Thank you,
at you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Drew, thank you for returning once again.
For the 230-odd times, yeah.
Pretty good. Not bad. Not bad, dude.
I've only missed a handful of episodes.
You've actually listened to a handful of episodes?
No, I said I've only missed a handful of episodes.
Two of those episodes I filled in for you.
I have not listened to any of the episodes.
I haven't listened, only missed a couple, missed a few. Steve signed up for a couple.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty badass. Yeah. But now we're all here together. We got a lot to talk about, so let's get into that, this thing, right? This thing. Yeah, there we go. That pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, streaming Pick of the Week time. We let you know what is out there on the Netflix, the Hulu's, Amazon Prime. There are so many options. What are you going to do? Just sit there and flip through them for all night long and not actually watch anything? This is where we help you out. Actually, use the Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1. Go ahead and let us know what is this week's Pick of the Week.
We have Primer and Upstream Color.
Oh, shit.
Was that two movies?
That is two movies.
Okay.
Upstream color
and Primer.
Okay.
Because it sounds like watch Primer first because, you know, you need to put Primer on before you put on the paint.
That is true.
The color.
That is true, absolutely. And since the movies were made in that order, first Primer and then Upstream Color, I agree. Yes, those
Primer
are
is no longer streaming.
No, Primer is no longer streaming. That's not good. That's bad news.
So you could have dropped the bomb on that one.
Yeah, but that was in the other app.
Yeah.
That was in the other app. So I gotta scratch out Primer, which is fantastic. A fantastic movie about time travel.
Okay.
It's about time travel. It's been on Netflix for so long.
And neither is Upstream Color.
Oh, no!
You want me to pick it? Okay.
That gets
So I never even, just for shits and giggles, what can you tell me about those two movies and about when they were made?
Primer was made about 12 years ago, Upstream Color about 4 years ago, maybe five, and they're both made by the same guy, Shane Carruth. That's why they're together, and the first one's a time travel movie.
Primer, you actually understand, as opposed to Upstream Color, where seriously, like, unless you sit there and like watch the movie and like really get into it and then do some hardcore thinking on your own, you have no idea what the fuck's going on.
It's dense movie making, very smart, very well made, low budget but super awesome, really well done.
Okay. Like a spectacular pound cake.
The best pound cake. Pound cake on top. Well, pound cake inside a pound cake.
Yeah.
That's what was happening there. But it's cool. I think we're all good.
Meh, meh. Try again, Netchy.
Which one was that one?
Top five.
This is top five.
Man, I swear to God, top five has been selected like three times in the past. Every time it's selected, it gets taken off. And then I see that it gets put back in there. So go ahead, Etching, get one from the randomizer.
This is where we are. We are over three right now.
If the third one is, if it's a third strike in a row, then
Chris is out.
Then I'm out, and then you guys have to do the rest of the show.
Oh, Amazon Prime. It's A History of Violence.
Uh-oh, I haven't seen that one on there in a minute. I may have to be out of here, and then you guys are just going to do the show while I go watch TV.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I remember it coming out, and it looked good.
Oh, my God, is it good? I got it on DVD.
Wait, I think, you know what? I think I might have seen it. No, I think about it.
Viggo Mortensen, Ed Harris.
Yeah.
Got I'm one sorry. We are. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah! That's hysterical.
Would you like to pick another one, sir?
It's not on. Okay.
Nope. Man. No, sir. No. There's been a great purging of movies on the internet.
Apparently.
Oh, Swingers. It's on Amazon Prime.
I bet you it's not. There's no way it is.
Oh, no. It is streaming on Filmstruck.
Filmstruck is that Criterion Collection, uh-huh. I think.
I've never heard of it.
Service. It's pretty new. Sort of within the last maybe 6 months to a year. And they have the Criterion Collection now. And I guess other movies as well, including Swingers.
Swingers, yes, with Jon Favreau.
Oh, my God.
There was a Criterion Collection of Fear and Loathing. I don't know if that means it would definitely be on there. But
I think so. I think if there's a Criterion of a movie, it's on that service.
I never really knew what Criterion was.
Well, they're just like a label, a distributor. They get the rights to certain movies to put out DVDs, put them on. They started with Laserdisc, actually. They were putting movies out on Laserdisc.
Okay.
And their whole idea was, let's put out the best copy on home video possible with some sort of special feature, whether it be a booklet that has like an essay in there written by someone, or information, or special features, all that stuff. They started that.
And, oh, okay.
And I have Criterion collection. They're all numbered from like one through whenever. Whenever they started numbering them all out, whenever they started releasing them, I have number, I think 18, release number 18 or 20 or something like that, which is RoboCop. And it's okay. The unrated version of RoboCop that a bunch of stuff put back in that they had to cut out because it was getting X-rated for violence.
Ah.
So they would have that. They would have that on there on Filmstruck, which is awesome, as well as a whole bunch of all the Wes Anderson movies are on there, because all his movies get the Criterion Collection treatment and stuff like that, and they all have like great covers and like awesome booklets with great pictures, production pictures, production design stuff, and it's like worth it if you're into movies and films.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if Criterion was something like some kind of organization, or, you know what I mean, like so that would have weight as far as if they said it's good. Kind of like, you know, if the Academy
came
out with a collection.
Their
kind of thing.
Taste, they have good taste. So yeah. Yes, they are considered to be like in some ways an arbiter of like if it says Criterion on there, it's a good movie,
right?
Like, whether it's a classic or it's a newer film or whatever, that they know what they're doing. They don't just put any movie out on Criterion. So
okay,
so there you go. Swingers, hey, they got Swingers on there. That's good stuff. There you go, people. Jon Favreau, Vince Vaughn. That's Vince Vaughn's breakout movie. Mm-hmm. Now we're all sick of him. Back then, I was like, who's this skinny, tall, wild, angry
I still
guy?
Like Vince Vaughn. Some, guy's an asshole.
Some people do, but he's not as popular as he used to be.
No, definitely not.
Remember in the 90s when he was doing everywhere. Stuff that was like, he was everywhere, and he was like in Clay Pigeons as I think he was a killer in that, wasn't he? Or was he a cop?
I don't know.
Jimmy Garoppolo was a cop in that.
I feel like his popularity started going down as stuff started coming out about what an asshole he is. Like, I think he did that to himself.
Probably.
Whereas most, you know, you just couldn't find a good acting gig or something, and you just kind of naturally go down. I think it all had to do with him.
If you're going to be an asshole, usually it's going to come back around and get you, unless you make enough people a lot of money. His movies aren't making enough people enough money.
No.
So there you go.
That just caught up to Chevy Chase not long ago.
Yeah, very true. Very, very true. Yes, absolutely. Which was a bit of a bummer, because I always liked him. But apparently, yeah, he's a raging dick.
Yeah.
That really sucks. All right, there you go. Let's get into that box office recap, Drew. What do you say? We talking about them monies. Let's start with that top five.
Number five this week.
Number five.
Transformers: colon, The Last Knight.
Transformers.
We can gross $6.3 million, total of 118.
Where are you, Sam Witwicky?
He needs to have a picture of making a weird face.
The Decepticons have unleashed.
Give me your glasses.
The MacGuffin. Give me your glasses.
But it's all right. Optimus is there. He's going to save the day.
I am Optimus. Sandwich Wiki.
Save the day.
I will.
Just shut up and save the day.
Can I get a better...
Number four this week.
Can I get a better...
No, you can't.
Sandwich Wiki.
No, I did it wrong. I went to the wrong number. That's not good.
Sandwich Wiki. No, I just like the devil. What is number four?
Wonder Woman. $10.135 million.
What is number four, Justin? Oh, Robot Man. What do you think of this episode now, Joe?
Total gross of $368 million domestic.
Oh, you don't have to take all the emotion out of your voice there. You just like $224 million domestic. How much did it make so far?
368.
Who is that?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, okay.
It's good, man.
It is.
I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, I mean, unlike all the other DC comic book movies that they've made, you know, this one's pretty good.
Best of them so far. Suicide Squad, Batman versus Superman, even Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, I would say, is
better than all of them.
More enjoyable. It's a more cohesive story. Gal Gadot is a treat of a leading lady. She holds it down. She steals every scene that she's in, and it's her movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's called being a leading lady.
It's called owning. Yeah. It's called owning your Wonder Woman status. So yeah, it's good stuff. You know, good for her. Good for them.
Number three this week.
Number three.
Baby Driver. Weekend gross $12.75 million. Total of 56.8.
This one's got some good buzz. Actually, you got to see the Baby
Driver.
I've
heard tons about it. That's if I were to go to the movies right now, that's what I would choose to see.
And this would be the one I would say to go see of all the movies that are out right now.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen Baby Driver, then I mean it's a
fun movie, and it's worth seeing in a theater, big screen, great sound.
Gotta have the big screen, gotta have the great sound, because there's lots of awesome music throughout the entire film.
It's very, very rocking. I gotta say, oh shit, guys, oh shit.
Breaking Crespo report.
Within six minutes. Look, this right there. 6 minutes, right?
Sure.
6 minutes ago. No, sit down.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I see. Yeah.
6 minutes, right? Confirmed.
Does that say six? Oh, my God. That says six.
Current threat level is now moccasin. Your situation is no hiding place.
Oh, and you can't run. You can't really run in moccasins.
I can't.
So, what were we talking about? Transformers. Sandwich Wiki.
Baby Driver.
Oh, Baby Driver is totally worth it. The music is great. The soundtrack is awesome. Like, the music, not only is the music really good, but it's used really well. And
very appropriately.
And, like, the wrong music or done in the wrong way, it could have been very hokey, very cheesy.
Yeah.
Any other director could have really fucked this up. But Edgar Wright has a style. He knew what he was doing. Apparently, he was working on this project for a long time, and it's totally worth it, man. Check it out. Like, see it. Do it so we can talk about it.
I definitely will.
See it so we can talk about it.
Number two movie this week.
Number two.
Despicable Me 3.
Here we go.
Weekend gross, $33.9 million. Total, $149 domestic.
All right, Etchy, what is your Despicable Me 3 review? Go.
Oh, yeah. The trailer was pretty good. my impressions of it basically is that, like, if you like any of the movies, like, you're gonna like that one. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I guess so. You should, right?
For the most part, really. Yeah,
I like the first one. I don't really remember the second one, though. I know I saw it.
Yeah,
but to be fair, I guess I really don't remember the first one too much either. Never saw that Minions one.
No.
I guess I don't know. I'll see this one whenever it plays on FXX.
I think I have it. I could be wrong, though.
The first one?
No, I definitely have the first one, and I definitely have the second one.
I like Megamind more than I like Despicable Me.
Okay. Well, my mom babysits,
mm-hmm.
and so she buys a lot of kid movies.
Sure.
And she gives me the digital copy slips.
There you go.
So, like, yeah. There's tons of stuff that I have, and people are like, what? Like, it's good.
Do you have Megamind?
But I wouldn't have bought it.
Have you seen Megamind?
Megamind?
No. That's the one where Will Ferrell plays the voice. It's animated.
Oh, came I remember. Right, he's blue, right?
He's blue.
Okay. I didn't see it, but...
Watch that. Watch this book with me. Watch that. Come back. Tell us which is the better villain becomes a good guy.
Because I have Moana on my computer, like, from a digital download. I haven't watched it yet.
It's now also on Netflix, too. You haven't watched it?
Nope.
Neither have I. And it's on Netflix.
That seems like it went to Netflix really fast.
About a little over 3 months, but Disney now has a deal with Netflix where Netflix gets, they get everything.
Yeah.
So anything that Disney does now, it goes straight to Netflix, like, as soon as it's ready. That's usually about 90 days.
Wow.
Which is wild. Wild. Crazy wild stuff. So that was number two.
Mm-hmm.
What is number one?
Sandwich one movie of the week.
Sandwich Wiki.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Here we go. Spider-Man-Homecoming.
Domestic gross, $117 million combined with $140 million foreign. Worldwide opening weekend, $257 million.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
Not bad at all for
a Spider-Man.
It just seems like a weird... I don't like that name.
Spider-Man-Homecoming.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, just the fact that Homecoming's... It makes me feel like the first 30 minutes he's looking for a corsage. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, there is a corsage.
There's a corsage in the movie.
Is there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Corsage movie and a corsage show. He has to go to Homecoming. They totally bring up Homecoming. And they bring up like an hour and a half into the movie. And you're like, oh, yeah, Homecoming.
He's got to put on a suit.
There's a lot of high school in this movie.
Very much. I mean, it's a part of the movie.
It's very much a big deal about it. The big centerpiece of the film is Peter Parker as a typical teenager just trying to find his identity in the world. And he's not one of the popular kids at school. That's Flash. You know, he likes a girl, but does she really like him? He doesn't know. But with the whole added thing, if he also has
he's fucking Spider-Man.
He's Spider-Man, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they got that. They nailed that aspect of the character. They did really, really well with this. I gotta say, I think we both really enjoyed this.
Yeah, definitely one of the better Spider-Man movies to be made.
Drew is the type of guy who has a lot of issues with Spider-Man movies in general.
Well, they keep fucking him up and messing with storylines and things of that nature. And, I mean, it's...
All right, Drew, first off, please get off the table.
Okay.
And put the gun away. Okay?
No, I'm not putting the gun away.
Okay. Just get off the table. Did you have any like big issues with this Spider-Man movie along those lines?
Not really. At this point in time, I don't mind if they change around characters. Like, you know, changing a guy who's, you know, a guy into a girl, or changing the ethnicity or the name.
Sure,
or
very,
whatever.
Very superficial changes.
Superficial nonsense makes no difference. I more have issues with, like, you know, when they fuck up, like, core story elements and things of that nature, which they really didn't do. And if they did, it was stuff I didn't care about.
It was a minor storyline that you didn't even really... Okay, there you go. So recommend it? Recommend people check it out?
Definitely, 100%. I mean, it is... part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you are
100%,
if you are up to date on these movies and you enjoy these, you know, what Marvel has to offer, by all means, go see the next installment.
It pretty much is the next installment of the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, man, that's crazy.
I didn't watch the guy before at all.
Guardians 2?
What? No, the guy.
Oh,
the Spider-Man
before. Andrew Garfield.
That's really
Amazing Spider-Man and the Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, that's really my only problem with the whole Spider-Man thing.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I mean, how long was it between the last Tobey Maguire movie?
A couple years.
And that's ridiculous.
Only a couple years. In a span of 15 years, we've had now 3 different Spider-Men over 7 movies, mm-hmm. which is
a lot.
Big turnaround.
Yeah.
It's a high turnaround for a Spider-Man, for a superhero. Imagine over that whole time we've had 2 Batman, 2 Supermen, 2 versions of Professor X and Magneto, mm-hmm. 1 Wolverine the entire time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Don't you think it'd make a huge difference if, take all the James Bond movies ever made, and every third movie they change James Bond.
Every
how annoying would that be?
Almost every fifth movie. It depends. Timothy.
There's only like 5 of them.
Timothy Dalton only did 2.
Yeah.
And George Lazenby only did 1.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson did 4. Craig did 4. Doubtful that he'll do a 5th.
Yeah.
So might be already looking at another Bond.
Over decades, though. You know what I mean? Like,
we should have a lady Bond. Next Bond should
be cool.
Next Bond should be an old Asian lady.
Well, I mean,
old Asian lady James Bond. I've had enough of these posh white dudes.
I'm Bond. Lady Bond.
Lady Bond.
How about a hardcore posh white chick? An Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde. Atomic Blonde looks like fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, she's, you know, special agent.
She's Lady Bond.
She's not 007 special agent.
007.
But she's gonna murder the fuck out of some people.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Probably John Goodman. Mm. I bet you he's the bad guy.
Oh, you think it's him? I think it's the other dude.
Toby Jones,
yes.
He purposefully looks too evil. He made him look too evil. I bet you it's John Goodman. He looks like the nicer guy. Like, I bet you it's him the whole time. Sam Witwicky, the Decepticons have unleashed John Goodman. Spider-Man's good, man.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
It doesn't surprise me.
I guess it shouldn't surprise me either that Marvel Studios would know how to handle that character well. So I would recommend, if people have already seen the movie, or if they don't give a shit about spoilers, they can check out our spoiler-filled bonus episode that Drew and I put out yesterday, talking about Spider-Man for about 30 minutes, covering the whole thing, who lives, who dies, etc., etc., all the deets, all the spoilers. So everyone check that out. Spider-Man: Homecoming, your number one movie for the week. Let's see what new movies are coming out on DVD this week. We have The Fate of the Furious. You up on these movies, Etchy?
Which one?
The Fate of the Furious. This is the 8th
No.
one. You're not up on these at all?
No, I watched the first one and the second one.
Boo, the worst ones.
And that was it.
No, easily the worst one. You haven't seen 3? You haven't seen 4?
No.
Skip them.
Okay. 3 was Tokyo Drift, right?
3 was Tokyo Drift.
I don't know why I remember that.
Because it's the funniest title of them all.
It is, and it's also like the one weird one that doesn't have like the majority of the quote-unquote Fast and Furious cast.
They had to retcon a character. Like a character that was introduced to that movie then ends up being brought back in for Fast and Furious 5, which is the one that you gotta start watching at.
Okay, 5 is where you start.
You already watched 1 and 2, fuck them, alright, so you have that going for you. You don't even need them, but you got them. 3, skip it. 4, skip it. 5, 6, 7, and now 8. They're big, wild, crazy, gigantic action movies, man. They're insane. They're totally different from the movies, the first few.
Yeah. You know, I still watch, I would watch 3 and 4, though, just because I keep a group of movies like in mind on a list.
Yeah.
That I use for when I'm working,
mm-hmm.
and I play it in the background.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, I kind of get it, but really it's just there to...
Well, then go ahead and throw him there, because there is a character death in the third one that then plays into what happens, because...
Is he from Tokyo?
He is. He's one of the... is he from Tokyo? I guess so. The actor is actually Korean. He's
not from Tokyo. He's a drifter.
The way they make the movies, it's actually revealed that movies 5 and 6 happen before
the Tokyo Drift.
Really?
Three.
Yes.
That's confusing.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is. So in timeline order, it goes Fast and Furious 1, 2,
4,
5, 6,
3,
7, 8.
Yeah. Well, technically, they can get away with it because, like I said, 3 doesn't have any of the major actors.
Yeah.
So they can put it timeline wise wherever the fuck they want to.
3 has nothing to do with nothing.
It's got nothing to do with nothing.
They retconned it beautifully. It's an amazing thing, actually, what they did. So 8 comes out on DVD. Charlize Theron's the bad guy. Based on 8, they're going to make a spinoff movie with The Rock and Jason Statham teaming up together to chase down Charlize Theron, her character. She's the bad guy in their spinoff movie they already announced. So these movies are wild, man. They're crazy wild. I know, isn't it crazy? They've been trying to do a Rock, his character, a spinoff movie since they introduced his character in 5.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're finally going to do it, but as like a buddy thing with Jason Statham, which is going to be fantastic.
Oh my God, yeah, I love Jason Statham.
Yeah, he's great. Well, they introduced him in, he's in 7 and 8.
Yeah, he's the new Bruce Willis.
Except not as douchey.
Right.
Bruce Willis is
kind of douchey. He is kind of douchey. Kind of sad. I mean, like, you know, he's getting old enough that he's probably not going to be in too many, if any, more, you know.
Old man action's a thing. Liam Neeson's still doing it. Keanu Reeves just hit his 50s.
And
he's like in his action stride.
Yeah, and he's now an action star.
Yeah, but he's a machine.
More
so than ever. Yeah, right? It's crazy. He's also a giant. That's the thing you don't really notice with these movies.
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
He looks like he'd be short.
He is. He's like 6'3", 6'4".
Really?
He's a big dude, and he can be very intimidating. Smurfs, The Lost Village comes out. That's for the kids. That's for the family. It's the summertime. You need the kids to sit down in front of the TV in the middle of the summer. It's so hot out there.
Give them some Smurfs,
Give them some Smurfs, in The Lost Village. There you go.
Okay.
Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Oh, we finally get to stop seeing that stupid trailer for Wish Upon, because that comes out.
Oh, thank God.
The Haunted Wish Box.
My brother thought the movie was called Wish Box.
And I was like,
that's a better, that's a better title.
It is.
Wish Box. Wish Upon looks so stupid. It's a monkey claw type story where a girl gets a bunch of wishes, but in order, like, she's like, I want a bunch of money. So her parents obviously die and she gets the inheritance. That's what's going to happen there.
Exactly. You know, that type of shit.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was just talking to somebody the other day where we were talking about cool stuff to put on the walls of the studio, and a monkey paw was one of them. A real one.
Oh, a real one.
Oh, yeah.
If I walk in and that monkey paw goes from 4 fingers to like 3 fingers, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Run like hell.
I want nothing to do with none of these.
Perfectly
wishes.
Natural, bro. I wished for something. It's cool.
Yeah.
I wish for something that has nothing to do with you. Like, no, that's specifically how I die.
And then your head just falls off.
And then your head just rolls off.
Yep. The solo movie War for the Planet of the Apes.
The Planet of the Apes, which is the third installment. It's the third movie.
It should be War 4.
It should be War 3, The Planet of the Apes.
That doesn't make any sense, Chris.
You know what? Nothing makes sense. It's a movie about talking monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, you're right.
And chimps
orangutans. We are talking monkeys.
No, we are talking humanoids.
It's The Planet of the Apes.
It is The Planet of the Apes.
We are talking Andy Serkis.
We are talking Andy Serkises. We're all Andy Serkis. That's the secret.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
That's the secret. We're all rendered in real time. Andy Serkis is... Because there are multiple Andy Serkises. That's our version of the Matrix.
Andy Serkai.
The Andy Serkai. We are powering a world of Andy Serkai that are doing they got the suits with the dots on them.
Yeah.
And they're in a room that looks just like this, but everything's green. Mics, the tablets, the paper, everything, the pen, everything is green, the drinks, everything.
And it's
green.
All being constantly rendered.
Live. In real time.
In real time. That which is amazing.
Yeah, and Andy Serkis, he's also like the table and the floor and the doors.
Microphones.
He's everything. He's the microphones. He's everything.
I actually was...
That's the Andy Serkis universe. Andy Serkis verse. The Andy Serkis verse.
He told a story once. I believe it was in the special features of the one of the trilogy of The Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
It was... I think it was the first one. Which one's the one where he's talking about, like, he wishes he... Sam says he wishes he could have, like, potatoes and...
The Fellowship of the Ring?
Yeah, I believe it's the first one. Yeah. When they were cooking.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's the Fellowship.
Okay. And his mom was, like, kind of disappointed because she's like, I don't see you in it. He's like, well, I'm that person. You know what I mean? He's, like, trying to explain it. Like, that's me.
Yeah.
And it was that time where, yeah, they were around the farm, and he's like, potatoes, like, you know, and he went like that or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And spit flew out of his mouth, and he goes, da-da-da-da, that's mine.
The spit, all the spit.
Because that was his spit, yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's like, that's about as close as you're going to get, Mom.
to actually seeing a real physical element of him in the scene. That is wild shit.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 12 years ago? 15 years ago now?
Oh, God.
Maybe even longer. 2001, I think.
2001, yes.
Out. Yeah. Man, it's a long time ago, and he's been doing it since then. Maybe now with Caesar, this will be, he finally gets some recognition for acting, motion capture acting.
Yeah. That's what everybody's saying.
That's what they're saying.
All the critics are saying that Andy Serkis deserves at least the, you know.
Give him some props. No. Give him a nomination.
Exactly. At least a nomination, if not the win.
Just recognize. Recognize, right? I'm looking forward to it. I like the other ones. Mm-hmm. I think they're good.
This one should be fun. Woody Harrelson looks insane.
Woody Harrelson looks insane. He's doing a bit of a Colonel Kurtz type thing. Mm-hmm. Matt Reeves directed the second one and the third one, this one. And his next movie is The Batman with Ben Affleck.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes for him.
I think Ben Affleck will make a good Batman.
He's a fine Batman, but he had to drop out as director because the stress was too much, and he got back into alcohol and shit. He had to go to rehab and stuff. So they brought in Matt Reeves to take over. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see what you have to say about any of that. Sorry for Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Then we're going to take a break. Because I need to refill my drink.
Me too.
All right.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda. Do doctors know?
More about sex. Damn. Dr. Drew, take it away.
all right, Chris. Not this coming weekend, but next weekend. There's this weird-ass movie called Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets is coming out. A lot of people have seen trailers for it. They've been strange, mixed. I have a feeling this movie's going to bomb and bomb hard.
Yeah, probably won't. Yeah.
It was Valerian?
Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
You see, and it's because of something like that that I know.
Like, yeah. Valerian? So this movie's going to put me to sleep?
No. Movie's going to be insane. It's going to be a 3D sci-fi clusterfuck. But I think you should go see it. I think everybody should go see it. I don't want it to bomb. So go out and go see Valerian in the City of 1,000 Planets in 2 weeks.
Who's in that?
Dane DeHaan and Cara Delevingne.
No. It's from the director of The Fifth Element.
Exactly. So boom, Doctor's out.
I love The Fifth Element.
If you love The Fifth Element, you're really gonna like this movie.
Okay, then I'm on board.
You got your computer there. Go. Let's take a break. Why don't you pull up the trailer for Valerian, and you can see what we're talking about. Even look up so you can find Valerian 3D trailer, so you can see all the shots that they show off in Tenet 4 3D, and you can see what we're talking about. So while Etchy do that, we're gonna refill our drinks. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back with the second half of the show. Let's listen to, I pulled Spider-Man Homecoming, started with like a minute long version almost of the TV theme. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That guy wears the pants. They are red and they are blue. Look at that. Hootie hoo. Check him out. Here's that Spider-Man, right? They play that song.
Yes.
But they do it a big orchestra version. It's Michael Giacchino. That's a great score for Spider-Man Homecoming. The cool orchestral version of that theme. So I'm going to play that. The same guy also did the Speed Racer soundtrack. Listen to the similarities and how he turns the Spider-Man TV theme and the Speed Racer TV theme into like movie themes, you know, as an orchestra. It's very cool. So check out these two songs together, and then we'll be back with the second half of the show. We'll see. And Drew, you guys ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Etchy, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. Why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Etchy, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, yeah. Thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
What?
I say you're using Audition, right?
Yes, I am.
If you hold down Option and go, and then the right or left arrows, it'll go to the beginning or end of each clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shortcuts.
Shortcuts, there you go.
Shortcuts are my favorite.
There you go. That's why I go to him for the expertise. Welcome back to Cinema Crespediso. We are starting the second half of the show with Drusa Cogburn, Steve Etchie. Guys!
Yes, Chris.
What's up?
It's Scott.
What's up? What's down? Simon didn't say. Simon's not here.
What?
I'm so confused.
Simon didn't say. There is a guy, I think I mentioned him on the show before, Howard Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
He is a West Coast comedian, musician, has a bunch of albums that he puts out every year about the summer. One album's called, like, Some of This, Some of That. Another one's called, like, Summitology. He also has another album called Douche Minutia, which is just really
Is that
say.
Where all the summer nonsense has been coming from, Chris?
I'm just saying summer's a good time of year. And, but he has, where was I going with that? God damn it.
Don't know.
See, now you're mm-hmm.
Derailed the train.
I was going to give you this awesome tidbit about summertime. And what have you done for the summer, Drew?
Nothing. I've worked a lot. Too much.
I haven't taken even 2 days off for the summer.
No.
To do something.
Nope.
Have you done anything for the summer, Reggie?
Not really. And my pool is at 85 degrees right now.
You got a pool, too. It's a nice looking pool.
It is a good pool.
I've seen it. Drew, I've seen the pool. It's there.
I'm sure.
There's like there's toys floating around.
There's water, and it's
clean.
Clean, and you go inside of it. I get it.
There aren't snakes or gators in there.
Mm-hmm. No, in fact, we got one of those new, like, you know, underground monster things, the underwater things that, like, clean and shit.
What?
Yeah, we got a new one.
Breaking news. Ladies and gentlemen.
Pool cleaners.
Pool cleaner. Etchy now has an awesome underwater pool cleaner in his pool. It is dope. He still doesn't use his pool. Sandwich Wiki. Drew.
What?
Make sure the house you get has a pool.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. I mean, no. And you don't own a pool. You have a friend who owns a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony would be my friend.
We already have a friend who owns a pool. Actually, he owns a pool. We have two friends that own a pool at least.
He lives really far away.
You guys want
to
go
our other friend lives... tremendously close, so we still never see him.
Yeah, we never see him, though.
So call him, I'm sure.
If you never see him around. And he lived close, then that probably means he's hardly ever home, so you could actually break
I'm
in
sure
and just
actually,
swim.
I'm sure he's home a lot.
Oh. He's probably home a lot. He's probably home a lot. He's probably just gorged himself on Donut King. He's probably so just fat and
that sounds
gorged
awesome.
And disgusting. He doesn't listen to this show.
Not at all. Of course not.
We call him a friend, but we haven't talked to him in months. And
I'll see him in a week and a half.
Oh, Drew's going to see him in a week and a half. Good, you can verify that he's still alive. I
yeah, you know, he's still alive.
I thought he was dead.
No. You still have a pool, right?
I thought this guy was dead.
No, he's not dead.
He's still alive?
Yeah, I shot him a text message on his birthday.
Oh, what friends. What a friend.
Alive and a little well.
I shot him a text message on his birthday.
Yep. Happy birthday, fuckwad.
Did he reply?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's alive.
Well, hey, that's
or whoever has his phone replied.
That's correct. Better than a Facebook message birthday.
I think so, too. I think so, too, as a matter of fact, because that means that person has your phone number. My birthday is not on my Facebook, specifically because I don't want that, like, 50 people, happy birthday,
you see, I have
your
it.
Wall, and it's like, you people don't care about me. You
exactly.
Don't know. This is such bullshit.
Minimal effort. I do a tally of how many fake bastards give me a happy birthday every year. And it fluctuates between like 45 and 35, depending on the year.
35, 45 of you fake motherfuckers.
Yeah,
say happy birthday. Happy birthday.
But exactly. The thing is, anybody who does wish me a happy birthday, I haven't seen in probably at least 5 years, if not longer. And I do not talk to them.
I'm going to wish you a happy birthday next time.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. Wish them a happy birthday.
So many fake fuckwads.
It's like December or something like that. Yeah. That's how it's done in the end of the Circaverse.
It's hilarious.
Drew Cogburn ain't taking. That's a Drew Cogburn stance. Stance number two. In the end of Circaverse, and brand new.
The Circaverse?
Yeah, we're living in the Circaverse, right?
Okay.
Everything's Andy Circus?
Yes.
Everything's Andy Circus.
Everything's Andy Circus.
I still can't remember my original point about Howard Kramer, and it's the summer, and douche minutia, somatology, some of this, some of that. Make sure you have a summer gum. I don't chew gum, though. The sugar.
Yeah.
You know, people don't think about the sugar and the gum.
The sugar-free gum. I don't know what it is.
What's the point? What's in it then? What is it?
I don't know. I'm guessing just like sweetener. It probably gives you gum disease.
Just give me a piece of tree bark. Is that what people used to do? Chew tree barks?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Be like, no, right?
Yeah. No, I think I've heard that before.
Come on, I think so. I think right. True.
My brain is easily influenced, though.
Have you guys ever chewed on wood before? It's not really something good.
Toothpicks.
Yeah, but
toothpicks, pencils.
Oh. Yeah, but they
wooden dildos.
They now have
stuff. Whoa.
They now have stuff
that,
like you can buy
what?
Just like to chew on, like
are those
like
teeth marks,
so that you don't chew on a pencil or like if you're an excessive chewer.
If you have an oral fixation,
yeah.
And but you can also sell those things to the people with the anal fixations.
Mm-hmm.
because it's
That's true.
It's only a year.
You're just sticking stuff in holes. That's
there's
all.
Only a year or two difference between Welcome to Sexcast, Dr. Drew and Dr. Steve.
Yes. I've never been called a doctor before. I like it.
Yeah, I like it, right? It feels good, right?
I actually want to go back to school just to legitimize the whole deal.
Like Dr. Steve Williams, a.k.a. Dr. Death. He was a wrestler. Big, fat wrestler. Drew, where can people find you on the internet? Let's plug some stuff, please.
Antihero419, all over the internet.
What can people do with that Twitter?
I mean, you can tweet at me if you want to. I may... Actually, I probably won't respond. I have my notifications turned off.
Well, then how about Instagram? How can people hit you up there?
I mean, yeah, but I don't have my notifications on. I turned off all my notifications.
What about on Facebook? How can people get on you on the Facebook there?
You can.
How?
At Antihero419, but chances are I won't respond to you on there. I've turned off all my notifications for all my social media. I just don't care anymore.
You guys are going to have to come over here and knock on the door.
Don't say that. Do not say that.
Break in and write on his wall.
I was here!
Happy birthday!
And she plugs up stuff.
Yeah, you can actually find me, Google Steve Etchy, and all of my stuff will come up with the exception of my email address, which is steve.etchy@gmail.com. You can find me on What's the Fuss, which is on radio. Yeah, we have a new episode coming out every Saturday, and we just did one with Angel.
With Angel. Angel Rivera. Hey, what happened to my part two?
What do you mean?
Oh, we did two parts last week.
I'm mixing it up. So okay, yeah.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
So when's part two coming out?
I think we're going to do Angel both in a row, and then you, and then there's going to be, like, I don't know, a bunch of other... We usually don't schedule a ton of people at once.
Yeah,
you schedule... This time we did.
You got a backlog of episodes now.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've never had it before.
Man, you got to put out that part two, because part two's one where I was talking shit about podcast listeners.
Yeah, right? I forgot about that.
Drew, man, I pulled out both guns for my second episode of What's the Fuss. I was like, fuck it. It's part of the 2017. I was like, fuck all podcast listeners, they're garbage. Uh-huh. Rocky, he brought up some random question. If you could bomb one city in America, not necessarily bomb it, but like if you could just wipe it off, get rid of it, wipe it off the map, don't have to deal with the city anymore, which one would it be? And I was like, adamantly, I was like, it's either between Boston and Philly, but I picked Boston. And Bill goes like, "I'm from Boston." I was like, "Well, that's
sorry, buddy.
Like,
that's
like, you're not in it right now."
But it's a garbage city. Yeah, I should have pointed that. You're not in either. And
you'll be fine.
So I was like hating on cities. I was hating on Tampa as well.
Lots of hate. I love
it. It was fun.
Let the hate flow.
It was good times. It's probably because Rocky was feeding me PBR. So I was like, I'm feeling that 1880s working man blues right now.
Yeah, man.
Where I feel like this is Trump's America.
It's the dark side, brother.
Let me give you my blue collar opinion.
To the dark side. Embrace the anger.
People are tired of the political. Political correctness. They want to be able to say what they think, right?
Yeah, it's not good.
Right? They want to be able to spew the verbal diarrhea without consequence, right? So let's just get in on it, guys. If you can't beat them, join them.
No, thank you.
So that's what that's from here on out, you know. So I reiterate, it's a spoiler. Then I'm sorry, Steve and Rocky and Bill, but spoiler for the next.
You know what? You don't even have to listen to the episode.
Whenever
now.
I'm on. Well, you can get into... I'll give you the details. You got to listen to the episode for the details as to why I say fuck Philly, fuck Boston, fuck Tampa. Shout out to our listeners in those cities. You guys are cool, but get out of those cities. Come on. Orlando's cool. I like Orlando.
Yeah, I do too.
Hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. I am on Facebook. Find me. I'll friend each other. I got like 2,500 friends. Most of these people, I don't know who they are. My Facebook is garbage now. I scroll through it. There's so many people. They're like Trump supporters and stuff. Some of them. It's like, you people are the worst goddamn people, some of you. But it helps.
But you're friends on Facebook.
But we're friends on Facebook. So I scroll through it every morning when I'm on the shitter. Mm-hmm. And I read through the timeline and I get angry every morning. And that's how I keep my teeth white. You know, I'm like, this is freaking me out here. Hit up the show on Twitter at Crespo Diso, Facebook Cinema Crespo Diso, Instagram Cinema Crespo Diso, iTunes. Rate and review us. You got them rated into reviews on the iTunes? What's going on over there with that? What's the fuss?
I've got some, but I don't know. I never look.
Guys, you should check it out. First, you should look, and then second, you should plug it. Get people, because if you get enough in a bunch, then you end up on those iTunes lists, the new and noteworthy, the what's hot.
We were on that once.
Well, yeah, in the very beginning, when people were first checking out and it was hot, we made it on the new and noteworthy list, and that helped out, but then it died back. As far as I know, we haven't been on one of those lists in a while. Oh, I don't really check them. Like you said, I really don't check those lists.
Yeah, I think we were one time that I know of.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, actually, when I was with Answer Pants, we got on the Stitcher. Ooh.
Oh,
Universal
no.
Top 100. We were number 32.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That is awesome. That's very cool. That's really good.
Yeah,
there's
awesome.
There's like 30,000 podcasts right now on Stitcher.
Yep.
Like, that's not even an exaggeration.
Right. It might be more than that.
Well, we all know. We've all been around this. We've all done this before. Drew Sicogman versus the world. That's one of the fun parts of having Steve on. It's like, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
We don't have to explain nothing. But for new listeners, I'll explain. We're doing Drew Sicogman versus the world, our weekly trivia segment. This weekly trivia segment brought to you by the Cork and Fork Restaurant in East Orlando, Cork and Fork American Grill at Hoffner and Conway. I'll be hosting trivia there this Tuesday, the 11th, and every Tuesday thereafter at 7 p.m. Award-winning Curtis Earth Trivia Show starts at 7, get there early. Tuesdays, Etchy, at the Cork and Fork, because you've been there.
Yes.
On Wednesdays, you've been there for a Wednesday show, when Wednesday is burger specials and sangria, $5 sangria.
Yes. I keep ordering their soft pretzel sticks. So.
They're good, right?
Very good.
On Tuesdays, I'm doing the show there on Tuesday at the Cork and Fork, meatloaf special is the Tuesday thing.
Okay.
They do crazy meatloafs with like things in the middle, like stuffed in them and sliced up and, you know, like eggs and whatnot. It's pretty wild looking.
Fingers
and shit. It's pretty cool. And the Tuesday cocktail, $5 cocktail, is the Moscow Mule, I believe.
Okay.
So there you go. I think it's like ginger soda, ginger ale, and vodka.
I was going to say, I know there's vodka in
it. For sure, a vodka drink, it'll fuck you up if you have a couple of them. And they're only $5, and they're pretty big. I've seen the size of them. So, guys, Cork and Fork, come out. This week's trivia, Drew Sicogman vs. the World. You are 10-8, mm-hmm. Drew. I believe you won last time.
I don't remember.
All right, I can double check here. Let me see. Yeah, you won. You won against...
I know, last time I was here, I lost.
Oh, you won against Big Tim Murphy. Last time you lost, Steve?
Uh-huh, yep.
Last guest we had in here 2 weeks ago, Big Tim Murphy. That was a really fun episode. People, check that out. Drew won. So you are 10-8. This week's game is called John, or Johnny. I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me if this movie is featuring John Travolta, John Voight, or Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Those are your options. Travolta, Voight, Depp. Drew, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Group A or Group B?
A.
Here we go. Group A, number one, Staying Alive.
Okay. Travolta.
That's correct. Number two, National Treasure.
I know this
one. Oh, shit.
John Voight.
John Voight is correct. Number three, Into the Woods.
I don't know this one either.
Into the Woods.
Johnny Depp
is correct. Number four, Crybaby.
Johnny Depp.
That's correct. Number five, Chains of Gold.
I have a feeling this is not going to be
John
good
Voight.
Me.
John Voight is incorrect. That is John Travolta. Steve, you went four for five. Well done, Drew. Well done, Drew. Here we go.
This is going to be a total turd.
Steve's really a total turd. Your options, John Travolta, John Voight, Johnny Depp. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, Broken Arrow.
Travolta.
Correct. Number two, Ali.
Voight.
Correct.
That was a total guess. Just seemed like he'd be in that town, you know?
He plays, actually, the reporter Howard Cosell. So he's in a bunch of makeup and shit. But he's really good. Number three, A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Johnny Depp.
That's correct. Number four, Secret Window.
Secret Window. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wasn't that Raymond Burr?
Raymond Burr.
I don't think that's
not one of the options.
Yeah, not one of the
options. No, it's not, but I believe he's in the original. Okay.
Secret Window.
Secret Window. Okay. I'm gonna have to say Johnny Depp.
That is correct. Number five.
Okay.
Eyes of an Angel.
Jesus. Okay. That sounds like Travolta.
That is correct.
No! Oh,
nice. Nicely done there.
I've never done that before.
Knocking Drew down to 10-9. Congratulations, Steve.
Sir. Thank you.
Well played, sir. He gave you a hard one, and you still pulled it out.
Yeah.
What? Excuse me.
5 times.
What?
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Okay, here we go. Let's let me see. It's the Crespo Dome is always a bit of a freestyle in terms of the segments. Let's do this one.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
That's right, here we go. It's time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. I know, it's pretty long. I was thinking about changing it up. Time for Billy D's Death of the Movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. He's our homie, man. Billy D is the best. He is great. And you can find him on the social media at I Love Blood. Drew, do you know what's the name of his Facebook page that he put up?
Billy D Takes Pictures.
Billy D Takes Pictures. Check out his photography work. I think he has also a website. That's like Billy Devine, Bill Devine, William Devine, something like that. I have no idea. Look him up. Google him. Check out his work. He's for hire in the New York City area. He hits us up every week. Most weeks. When the fingermen don't bag him. When they don't black bag him and interrogate him. They do that every now and then, the poor guy. And he gets his... they beat him. What they do is itchy. Is they beat his kidneys with bamboo reeds. Not like hard enough that it leaves like the welts, but the welts go away after a couple of days.
Yeah,
but he pleads blood for like a week, 2 weeks. It's pretty brutal. But he never gives up the names. That's why he's our homie. And but it does come this week with our review. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Have you ever seen something that is equal parts great and terrible? A film that ultimately left you confused, wondering just how the hell this was made, why it was made, even when you know. I just watched such a film this week, a movie called The Evil Within, a self-funded 15-year endeavor that ultimately the director never saw finished or released. Andrew Getty wrote, directed, and produced The Evil Within starting in 2001. The film is about a mentally disabled young man who lives with his brother. He begins speaking to a demon in the mirror that compels him to kill.
Ooh, I don't have a button that does that. So.
Let that sink in. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Someone goes full retard in this. Filmed primarily at the director's mansion in 2002 with Sean Patrick Flannery and Dina Meyer in mostly starring roles. Michael Berryman pops up too. Getty's disaster piece features one of the most incredibly bad turns in recent memory by Fred Kohler. His superhuman commitment to the role of Dennis is almost worth the price of admission. The remaining years of production involved extensive FX shots to fill out the nightmarish world created in this insular film. Getty transformed a portion of his mansion into an FX studio for this purpose, creating some truly mind-bending work, like giant spiders made from human limbs and robotic octopi that play the drums.
What?
This film could have been great if someone else's money had been in play. Someone that could have said no to something, or at least asked why. Why make Denny Portrait of a Serial Killer? You know, the somewhere the killer is some kind of disabled guy. This film has many flaws, as it does fine points, and left me ultimately confused. Sadly, Getty is no longer with us. He passed away 2 years ago due to intestinal bleeding from ulcers he developed because of his methamphetamine addiction.
Oh, gross.
Maybe I should have led with the meth thing. Clearly, he was battling demons throughout the production of this film.
That took a turn.
But he did craft something very interesting and impressive, if ultimately gross and confusing. You can watch The Evil Within on demand and via iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, rental. Stay cool, Billy D.
Man. Mm. Oh, that's some crazy wild shit. Thank you so much, Billy D. We appreciate it. The Evil Within. What was the... You threw one name out there that... What were the actors again?
I already deleted the email.
Damn, Drew, that is cold-blooded.
And quick, yeah, I know.
Cold-blooded and quick. Not even like...
Decisive.
See, technology is not the problem. It's people.
Uh-huh.
It is people.
Yeah, definitely.
That is the absolute truth. I was talking about, what's this guy's name? Because he mentioned, no, not Getty, although the meth addiction. That was crazy. Sean Patrick Flannery, one half of the old Boondock Saints duo. Mm-hmm. Those two guys, one of them got The Walking Dead. He's all super popular. Yeah. Everyone loves him. The other guy is Sean Patrick Flannery. And he does this movie. And that's like,
poor guy.
Poor guy, exactly. Exactly. Poor guy is right, Drew. All right, let's do this one.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Populi.
That's right. Hit us up, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we will read in the Vox Populi your questions, topics, movie reviews, etc., etc. Drew, take it away.
We got an email from Ron.
Yeah, Ron. LA. Ron, the homie.
Hell yeah.
We all love Ron. We know Ron. We love him.
So, fellas, we saw that Baby Driver.
What? You saw the Baby Driver?
I, for one, really enjoyed it.
Nice.
It was charming and fun. Mm-hmm. I got misty-eyed when Kevin Spacey finally got a heart. Mm. I hated bats like a moke.
Huh.
The visual cues turned out to be what I thought. Ansel has moved on from the teen heartthrob of Fault in the Stars and Insurgent. Is he an action hero?
Ansel Elgort? I don't know.
John Hamm is so handsome. He's packing a lot of meat in his trouser, but also packing a lot of emotion in both diner scenes.
Hold on. Drew,
I'm just reading him, bro.
Drew, did you?
I'm just reading.
When he saw Baby Driver, we saw the scene.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that
nope.
John Hamm was packing a significant amount of trouser meat?
No, I was, nope.
Neither did I.
No.
I didn't see it, but I bet you I would have noticed.
Steve, when you go see Baby Driver,
okay,
well, can you please pay attention to John Hamm's crotchal region?
Yes.
And let us know if he seems to be packing extra trouser meat.
I will be looking for the cock hanging from the storefront.
Just let us know if you see a dick print or not is now what I want to know. All right.
True. The matching tattoos for Buddy and Darling was a nice touch. Tattoos are a big deal. I really wish the back road worked out in the end, but I guess this ending is as good as any.
What?
Next, we got the best Spider-Man movie of all time. Like Chris, I figure out once Aunt May dropped him off that this will be a night for Peter to remember. The chair character was super annoying to me, especially in the gym scene. I mean, you're supposed to be supporting, not detrimental. The innocent, iridescent, and indestructible Drew... Bo Brew.
That's you.
Yeah, that's me. Also caught the shocker, shelves, and I thought that was great. I do like Michelle. She added to the current teenage mindset. Irreverent, but woke. With the Washington momentum and the clench winning point, not all heroes wear spandex. So this teen movie with sprinkling of superheroes gets my number one. But my question for you, what cartoon would be a better film live, and what live film would be a better cartoon? With all the possible Peter Parkers, from cartoon and live platforms, this has been my favorite iteration. But still, the 90s cartoon is my fave. If you could change a movie or TV show, which would you do?
Now, what was the question? That sounds like multiple questions.
He wants to know, okay. from cartoon to live platforms.
From cartoon to live, what cartoon should I make a movie?
Mm-hmm. Or what movie cartoon would you make a TV show?
Got anything? What cartoon should be made into a movie?
Either or.
Or what? No. You got one? I have one? Think of one.
Trying to think.
Think of one. How about Rick and Morty? How about a Ren and Stimpy live action cartoon? Live action.
Ooh. Movie? I'm not sure if you could do that.
That's why it makes it so intriguing.
That'd be weird.
Right? Wouldn't it?
It would be.
It would be.
One of the stipulations would be that you could do that. Like, that it was possible.
That it was possible.
Live action Rick and Morty would be awesome. It would be really expensive in the FX department.
Meanwhile, just making a cartoon version of something sucks. Cartoon
Ace Ventura.
Boo! How do we both say the same thing?
Because drink. It's awful.
Drink.
Because it is awful. It is one of the best representations of why you shouldn't do something like that sometimes.
It's crazy we're thinking the same thing. Yeah. Also not a fan of the Beetlejuice cartoon, although my brother liked it, so you
were. It was okay.
And Drew's in the middle. Was there another part to Ron's question?
I think 28 Days Later would make a good cartoon.
Oh, that's interesting. Because it's an Adult Swim type cartoon. That's why it'd be like a badass adult cartoon.
If it was drawn well, though, it couldn't be like a Squidbillies type.
No, it'd have to be like, again, the Tarkovsky. Yeah, something adult looking.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, Adult Swim. It would have to be up for kids.
Yeah.
Our homie Ron also hit us up on Twitter. He's on Twitter at N-U-R-I-K-O, Noriko 455, if you want to follow him. He's a nice guy. He said, I also wanted to point out the diversity in Spider-Man is fantastic, with normal Aryan jog being updated for the times to a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Flash.
Yeah.
Being the...
Well, I mean, Flash was always a douche. It's just...
Now it's a browner douche.
Now it's a brown douche instead of a white douche.
I think he's Italian-ish.
Who?
Did you see the movie The Grand Budapest Hotel?
Yes.
The bellboy that was hanging out with Ray Fiennes.
Wait, I'm thinking of the one with the train.
The Darjeeling Limited.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dope?
No.
I think that's pretty much it for this guy right now.
Yeah.
This guy, Tony Revolori, he's a young actor, and his first movie was really the Grand Budapest Hotel, which is a good movie if you like Wes Anderson, and he's good in it.
I love Wes Anderson.
And he plays Flash in this movie.
He's fuck a lot.
Yeah, let's say fuck a lot. It's really great. And he's a douchebag in this movie, and it's really good. He's really good in it.
Mm.
Thanks, Ron. We appreciate it, buddy. What's next, Drew?
We got an email from our homeboy, Gabe.
What's up, Gabe?
We got a Daddy's Home 2 trailer. Oh, he's got a bunch of reviews.
Okay,
reviews
here we go.
The Daddy's Home 2.
Nice.
Are you interested to watch Mel Gibson in a comedy?
Have you seen Daddy's Home?
No, but I've seen What Women Want.
Forever ago.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I've seen Mel it a Gibson ton of times.
Done action comedy, and Maverick is kind of a Western comedy.
He's got great timing.
He does have great
timing. Very charming.
Martin Riggs can have a lot of jokes in the Lethal Weapon series. So,
but he's also suicidal.
But I think he's talking more about post-Sugar Tits Mel Gibson. I think that's what he's talking about.
Okay.
You know, current social pariah. He went on a bit of a media mea culpa tour. Take me back type of thing in the last year when he put out that movie Hacksaw Ridge. I think maybe that's what Gabe was talking more about.
Okay.
Which is a fair question.
It is a fair question.
I went to Hacksaw Ridge. It's a good movie. He's a good filmmaker.
He is.
Don't want to see him in a
he
comedy.
He made Apocalypto.
He made Apocalypto. Here's the thing about
he's
this.
He's the original
movie.
Mad Max.
Okay,
I mean,
come on. You haven't seen Daddy's Home.
No.
Did you ever see it, Drew?
What? No.
Okay. It's one of those...
No, of course not.
Drew is so angry.
Why would I see that movie?
And the Circuverse, Drew just doesn't hold back anymore with the anger. He's like, why would I see... Because it's Mark Wahlberg. And Mark is like, come see my movie.
Mark, for the most part, Mark Wahlberg is fucking garbage.
Drew, so listen. I'm in the movie with Will Ferrell, all right?
He makes garbage movies with garbage people.
No,
and he makes a garbage burger.
Just because I'm from Boston doesn't mean...
garbage.
Just because I'm from Boston doesn't mean we're garbage people.
It's garbage.
You're garbage. You're garbage. You're hot garbage. Woman, how much you even lift, bro? You don't even look at that can. You struggled to lift that can, bro.
I heard you sigh.
I heard you sigh. Give me another Jack and Coke and creatine. Okay, so I saw it because it came out around Christmas, Daddy's Home, and you know my mom, Drew, she likes dumb comedies. Mm-hmm. She'll go see them. She's in the mood for that type of stuff. And then she'll be like, that sucked. I'm like, I told you it was going to suck. My parents went and saw The House and my brother. Here's a Chris Woody. So The House review, the Will Ferrell movie, Amy Poehler movie, they were all disappointed. None of them. They were like, this stinks. We don't like it. So there you go.
Which sucks. It looks good.
I was interested in it. I like Jason Mendoza. I was like, this could work. But then the reviews weren't hot. So that's why. And other movies came out. Anyway, when it comes to comics like that, she likes those, so I saw Daddy's Home with her a couple Christmases ago when it came out on a Christmas break. And it's, you know, it's a bad Will Ferrell movie. It's like a passable studio comedy movie. There's a handful of jokes that were legitimately funny, but when it comes to being a 90-minute movie, it's like, whatever, this is a fucking waste of everyone's time.
Yeah.
Daddy's Home 2, based on the trailer, looks better. Okay, now the concept of Daddy's Home is that Will Ferrell plays a guy who's
Not so masculine.
He's a beta male. It's like, oh, he's a beta snowflake cuck male, right? Type of dude. But he's a stepdad, and the kids that he's raising, their real dad is played by Mark Wahlberg, who's like alpha male.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so Daddy's Home 2. At the end of Daddy's Home, everyone's friends. They agree to, like, just be cool. Mark Wahlberg has his own girlfriend anyway. They're going to like co-raise the kids, do a lot of co-parenting, right? It's all very happy at the end.
Right. Unrealistically so?
Yeah, you know, just what expected though from a studio comedy like this. Daddy's Home 2, the setup is that it's another Christmas. It's next Christmas because that's when these movies come out. I guess that's the holiday they're sent around. I think the last one was.
I mean, that's the perfect type of movie to have.
Which I'm fine with. And I like Christmas movies. I'm fine with it. They're like, we're having Christmas, family Christmas together. Mark Wahlberg announces. Everyone's like, yay. And then the phone rings and it's Grandpa Kirk. And Grandpa Kirk is Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson shows up and he's playing a guy who's like old school aggro alpha. Uh-huh. So he's like, he sees Will Ferrell's character and the way his like accepting nature rubs off on the kids and everything. He's like, what is this? This is how you're going to let your kids grow up. So he's, I think it's in a way playing off of the whole Mel Gibson is a retro alpha douche. No one likes that type of thing anymore. Yeah. I think he's playing off of that. They're playing off of that, and they're using that. And then his character's going to have the very obvious arc of at the end. He's going to be more accepting. What I think works in the trailer is Will Ferrell's dad shows up.
Oh, John Lithgow.
And it's John fucking Lithgow.
I love John Lithgow.
Yes. But you know what's really weird? Watching Will Ferrell and John Lithgow kiss on the mouth.
They kiss. They mouth kiss each other. That's how like friendly they are to each other.
I can see why that would be weird.
It is. Yeah. It's a weird image, but it's a father-son thing. When I grew up, actually, I remember in high school, I still kiss my dad on the cheek, but in high school, I kissed my dad on the cheek, and my cousins were like, you still kiss your dad or whatever? I'm like, yeah, he's my
dad. At a certain point in time, you get over that shit.
Not me, man. I still kiss my dad on the cheek. I'm like, oh, I guess that's a Latin thing. I don't know.
No, you don't even think about it.
I don't even think about it. You know, like, hey, yeah. How's it going? It's like, well, it's good to see you. But yes, it's very much like a long mouth kiss. And then he's like, oh, they haven't seen each other in forever. It's like, it's been two weeks. Yeah. So the Mel Gibson, John Lithgow dynamic looks funny. It looks like, I think objectively, it looks like a better movie than the first one. Now, does that mean it's going to be good?
No.
Yeah.
No. But could be. You never know.
Yeah.
And Mel Gibson, he's back. He's back, man. Mel Gibson's back, baby. It's cool. You know, it's also Trump's America, so it's cool. It's cool to be openly hateful.
Yeah. Well, and he hasn't been, you know what I mean? Like
he's like I said, he hasn't been, but on his, like, his quote, forgiveness tour, he never really, like, was like, forgive me or anything. He was like, come on, haven't I suffered enough? It was kind of weird. The tone of it was strange. Yeah. He's a douchebag. Fuck that guy. I will see his movie stuff.
He's also got a Spider-Man review.
All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, we were still doing the show.
The show.
I forgot, we're not just hanging out.
Spider-Man. Appreciate the pickup where we left off open. Mm-hmm. No need for any more origins, please.
Okay.
Poor man's Hardy.
Yeah.
The writing is clever, and I was pleasantly surprised. The confrontation was epically tense.
Yeah.
Two questions. Number one, does Keaton have a gun? Because it was quick and not explicitly shown PG-13 rating. Yes. Right. No, I fucking saw a gun.
There's one point where...
Yeah, he pulls a gun.
He pulls a gun to intimidate... it's insane.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
In Spider-Man. Spider-Man...
Oh, okay.
Spider-Man skirts that line. It gets tricky. It's a hard PG-13, especially for kids. Mm-hmm. For under the age of 13. Should definitely keep it for
that,
over 13.
That leads to our number two question.
Number two.
I was at an early showing with literally a camp of kids, 7-year-old plus, and there was a porn joke made. It got some immature laughs, but I heard one kid yell out, I don't get it. Why is that funny?
That's hysterical. That's really
was
funny.
That an appropriate joke? Sometimes they give adult service, but in the context of my theater, I felt uncomfortable. Very enjoyable. See it now.
The movie is PG-13, so the kids are under 13. They shouldn't. It's up to the adults who are taking care of them to decide whether or not to take them in. There is ways, especially now, 2017, you can easily look online and find out the exact reasons why a movie is PG-13. If you even wait a couple days and don't see it on opening day, you can literally get like a list of, here are the amount of times curse words are said. It would have been like, you can find, by now, if you look it up, you can find like there's a joke made about a student watching porn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you can like research them. Like, oh, look, this is what's happening in this movie. Maybe I shouldn't take my...
7-year-old kid.
My fucking first graders to this goddamn stupid parents. Do the work. We gotta do the work for you. Goddamn.
Some of the gruesome visuals. Edgar Wright mixed it well enough. Solid action.
Interesting.
Helen Back review on Netflix.
Helen Back. I don't know who Helen Back is.
Great comedic cast. It looks like if Futurama did a crossover with Robot Chicken. Okay. Drewster should imbibe and check it out. Okay.
Yeah, you should imbibe and check it out. Not me.
Super review. A Netflix gem. Very funny. See it. Train to...
nice.
All right, there we go.
Train to Busan on Netflix.
Yep.
Fast Zombies. Enjoyable. Well made. Life review.
That's what it is.
I love Fast Zombies.
That's what it is, and it's enjoyable, and it's well made.
And it's on Fast Train. Zombies, Fast Train.
It's also South Korean.
Yep.
Train to Busan. Check that one out. It's good.
It's good if you like zombies.
Yeah, watch it.
I've heard of it, and I've seen the previews for it. It looks good. Yeah.
It is worth it.
Say it one more time.
Train to Busan.
Okay.
B-U-S-A-N, Busan.
He's got a life review.
Life.
It was okay enough. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the alien transformations. Mm-hmm. Saw the twist, though. Meh.
Oh, what do you see? The twist that doesn't sometimes
affect. And last but certainly not least, the Void review from Netflix.
All right, okay.
On Netflix, cinematography and design was great, but it couldn't follow the plot or the lesson. Maybe fan service to horror fans. Wonder what Billy D thinks. B minus.
I'm pretty sure actually Billy maybe a month or two ago reviewed that movie, and Billy D stepped in the movie's The Void, and I think he liked it. Although I think overall the movie is not as well liked as it could have been. Anyway. So that's it for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, thank you.
That Busan movie is still in theaters, isn't it?
No.
No, it's been a while. It is now on, last I checked, maybe Amazon or Netflix. It is on one of them streaming services for sure.
It's Train to Busan.
Train to Busan. B-U-S-A-N. What it's about, what pretty much what it is a father is taking his daughter to the parents are separated. So he's taking his young daughter to go see the mom to stay with her. And when they get on the train, the commuter train, that morning, that is the morning that the zombie outbreak happens in South Korea. So while they're commuting,
it is currently streaming on Netflix.
It's currently on Netflix. And while they're commuting, society crumbles around them. And one sick person gets on the train as it takes off. And that's what starts the zombie outbreak on the train itself.
Yeah, I saw this. I think I saw it in theater, like the trailer for it in theaters.
Yeah,
and I can't wait to see it now. It pisses me off when you're like, you know, like yesterday, I was like, man, I want to watch a movie, but I don't know what. You know what I mean? And
that's why we do the pick of the week, man. We try to help people with that. Yes, that happens to me too.
Yeah,
that happens to me. I gotta do my own randomizer 9000. Train to Busan's a good one, though. It's definitely worth checking out.
We got an email what's next from homeboy Scott.
He's
got a bunch of reviews. Start off with The Beguiled. Forgive my ignorance. I had no idea this was a remake of a Clint Eastwood film from however long ago.
I thought it was a Street Fighter movie.
From the 70s, actually.
All I knew going in was the trailer I saw.
Because
The
Guiled.
So, the first two-thirds of the trailer left me bored as fuck. Another lame-ass period piece drama from Sofia Coppola. Uh-huh. I hated her Marie Antoinette. And Kirsten Dunst again? No, thank you.
I love her.
But then, that final third of the trailer, damn, it got me hooked like deep. Vengeful bitches? I had to see this movie. So stoked.
Damn.
Spoiler alert, the first two-thirds were speaking the truth. This movie is long. I mean, it feels a lot longer than it actually is.
Okay.
It just takes forever to get to the good part. But even the good part wasn't nearly as good as I was hoping it would be. Oh. It wasn't even okay. When I heard vengeful bitches in the trailer, I was imagining something dark and twisted. Maybe Coppola would turn this little period piece on its ear into something, I don't know, unique? No, alas, it's all so very simple, dull, and ultimately meaningless. A few kudos from Kidman and Farrell for their meager tension and the characters brought. They did their jobs, but damn, I was hoping for so much more. I'd rather watch the trailer on a loop for 90 minutes than ever watch this movie again. It was an awesome trailer.
Jeez.
1.5 out of 4 stars.
Yeah, that's funny. Rather watch the trailer over and over than watch the actual movie. That's super funny.
The House.
The House, here we go. Oh, we were just talking about The House.
Oh, yeah.
So, irony alert, as awful a trailer-to-movie ratio The Beguiled scored, The House, turns out, has a really good ratio.
Mm.
My expectations were so low. I didn't even want to see this. It's just blind fucking luck that the timing worked out and this movie made its way into my schedule. And I'm so very glad that it did. Farrell and Poehler are fucking pros. I mean, it's gotta be hard to make a movie with either of them and have it not be good. But with both of them, pure gold. And then there's Mantzoukas. What's the old line? I'd pay to see insert outstanding actor read from a phone book. Well, I'd pay to see Jason Mantzoukas fuck a phone book.
I agree. I love Mantzoukas. I think Jason Mantzoukas.
I know what I'm going into, and I just know he's going to make it hilarious. And surprisingly, he was relatively tame in this role, yet did not disappoint. And there were so many other comedians in the cast, tons of stuff that never made the trailers, bringing more and more fun along the way. I LOL'd quite a bit watching this. It was a most pleasant surprise. 3 out of 4 stars.
There you go. 3 out of 4 stars. Interesting. All right. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, shit, man. We saw that one, too.
Spider-Man is just so much better as a kid than as a young adult. Period. Thank you, Marvel, for finally rescuing your IP. Peter Parker just wants to date, just wants a date to the dance, to participate in the academic decathlon, and to build Legos with his friend. But he's also Spider-Man and kind of hopes to be an Avenger too. Homecoming makes me love Civil War even more. That was a perfect skip to the good part introduction, and this movie is the artful, rightful, logical next step for the character. And dude, never mind, the two best parts of Homecoming aren't even Spider-Man. Oh, the Spider-Man parts were pretty fucking dope, though. Keaton's Vulture is a great villain because he's relatable. He's not some token bad guy who's just evil for evil's sake.
I hate that.
I know, it's bullshit. But what he is a family man just trying to provide while the fucking government /1% are trying to take his livelihood away from him.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers.
That's later. I agree with all that.
And damn it, Zendaya's uber sardonic Michelle role. Wow. She provided so much unexpected comic relief from an apparently not so throwaway character. My friends call me MJ. What?
What? Spoiler alert.
Oh, and our boy Ned was a whole lot of nerd cool too. Solid guy in the chair indeed. So much fun. Just a really, really good movie. 3.5 out of 4 stars. Take care, guys. Scott.
Thanks, Scott. I agree with the whole thing. What makes Spider-Man movie to work the best, I think, and we talk about this in a spoiler episode, but this isn't a spoilery thing because it's how the movie starts. The way they set up Michael Keaton's character, the Vulture character, mm-hmm. and how he's like kind of fuck the man, populist representing the 99% versus 1%. The rich are allowed to fuck shit up and then make money off of fucking shit up, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. It was actually really well done.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, thanks, Scott.
Thanks, we got an email from Doug.
What's up, Doug? Doug's our homie.
Christopher and Drewstifer.
Hey, that's us.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of movies, so I'm just going to write 2 or 3 sentences for each.
Awesome.
Baby Driver.
Go for it.
I left with my hands shaking and my butthole sufficiently clenched. Best movie of the year so far.
Wow.
Cars 3.
Those are some pretty big words. Yeah. Edgy, man. Taking that. So look out for... I'm sorry, Drew. Look out for... John Hamm's trouser meat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And beware of your butthole clenching on your way out.
Cars 3.
Cars 3.
There's a cool demolition derby scene involving a school bus with an O's ring. There's not much besides that. Red box it with the kids and wife if you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it pronounced Okja?
Okja? This is Bong Joon-ho. Again, another South Korean filmmaker. This guy made Snowpiercer, another South Korean train movie, ironically. And this one is about a monster that they find, and they're like a family's taking care of it. And it played at the Cannes Film Festival, and I think it had some mixed reviews, actually. Yeah. He's a very popular, very great filmmaker, as a matter of fact. This movie is... It's a Netflix movie. And it's on Netflix now. It debuted at Cannes, but it's at Netflix now. Okja, A-K-J-A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's one of the ones currently when you go there that's on the banner.
They feature it, yes.
That they're really...
Because it just came out like within the last couple weeks, yes. And they want people to watch it because they spent a good amount of money into it. I want to see it, too. I'm a big fan of that filmmaker. It's a weird-looking movie, though.
Great performances in a very important anti-capitalist movie.
Oh, good.
My new favorite film from the director of The Host and Snowpiercer.
Yeah, The Host. That's another one. That's it's a monster movie. Have you seen that one?
No.
I have that on DVD if you're interested in a really cool South Korean monster movie. It's got one of the best like a monster attacks like a beachside or waterside scene in like any movie. It's really good. It's a little long, and it gets a little overly emotional because it's very heavy into family dynamics.
Oh, okay.
But that's just a reflection of South Korean culture. But overall...
Yeah, they value family. What the fuck?
No, but I mean, like, to such a degree that it's an aspect of much of their art and entertainment, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
As opposed to here, where huge parts of our art and entertainment is sex as a vice and violence as a commodity.
Until Christmas.
Until Christmas, when it's all let's love each other and be cool. Yeah. That's why I love Christmas, man.
I
love Christmas. The Beguiled.
Oh, yeah, we're still going back to... What's up, Doug?
Sofia Coppola has made some good movies.
Oh, also, I'm down with the whole anti-capitalism thing, too, Doug. You and I.
Add this one to that list.
Resist.
Colin Farrell is a bastard.
Colin Farrell is a bastard. He's good at playing the bastard.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
So, did he like it, though?
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard to tell.
He said, so, what do you mean? So, Sofia Coppola has made some good movies. Add this one to that list.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I missed that part too. I think I talked over it.
Uh-huh. Good job, Chris. Spider-Man, Homecoming.
Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Correct.
Okay.
Colon.
Yeah.
The best Spidey to hit the big screen. Director John Watts kills it for the third time in a row.
Yep.
Can Marvel be stopped?
No, maybe.
Nobody speak, colon, Trials of the Free Press.
I had not heard of this at all.
Hulk Hogan's penis is not Terry Bollea's penis. Be scared of the rich because they are winning the class war.
It's a documentary, I assume, then, about the whole Gawker thing and Hulk Hogan's sex tape and how he sued about them writing about the sex tape that was stolen from Bubba the Love Sponge's office and all that. Man, we're like, it's weird, but just by living here and by me being an parent on Real Radio with a totally different show, we're like 6 degrees of separation away from all those people and that whole group of people. Because we know people.
Who know those people.
Who know directly the people involved with the tape and the sex tape and who stole it and all that shit. Yeah. It's crazy how close we're connected to that without even like being trying.
No.
So what I'm saying is, how come we're not more popular? We should be able to know more people.
Nobody cares about
Steve, we need the sex tape ASAP. You and Drew.
Wait, Drew. No.
Hear me out.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
Let me.
No.
Let me.
No.
I just.
No.
I.
No.
Just.
No.
Want.
No.
To.
The answer is no.
Get this out. You guys make a sex tape together. And then we put it out.
The answer is no.
Okay. Well, at least let me get it out.
Unless it's like, Drew, you grab like a Barbie doll and I grab a Ken doll and we like just
And then we'll tease it as the crossover cinema crest. When you saw What's the Fuss sex tape, like which members of who fucked who? Did Billy fuck Chris? Did Drew fuck Rocky? Did Steve and Drew 69?
Nobody
what's going
did
on?
Anything.
And then we put it on and then it's the sex dolls, but it's actually the dolls. And they're having sex.
Yeah. And Barbie still has her heels on.
Your tats are going to give away who you are. And then your skinny arm will give away who you are.
You know what you do? You just blur out my arm.
Sorry if I reviewed too many films.
Yeah. Oh, what? There's still more?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Sorry if I reviewed too many films. I meant to send half of these last week. I'm loving the Facebook group. It really brings the Crespoverse together. I also bought like 10 pops from Big Tim's online store.
Ha, nice.
Some were out of stock, so they subbed them for flavors that weren't listed on the site.
Ooh.
I'll let the world know if they should smash or pass on Big Tim's suckers next week.
Yes.
Thanks.
Doug, yes, please, actually do send us your lollipop reviews next week. That'd be fantastic.
Delicious.
We had Big Tim in recently, and he gave us some cookie cake pops, which were pretty good, and the whipped cream pops, which were excellent.
Mm.
And, definitely check out BigTimSellSuckers.com. That's some delicious
some
stuff
suckers.
There. Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it, buddy. And I definitely want the smash or snack or whatever reviews of the lollipops. That would be fantastic. That'd be so cool. And then if they're good reviews, I'll cut up the audio and I'll send it to them and let them know. What's going on? Is that it for the Vox Populi?
That's all.
Well, then here we go. It is time for...
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beads?
That's right, movie news time. We're talking about the hottest celebrity beach divorces, the tightest bods in all of Christendom. But most importantly, what's going on with the Biebs? Steve Etchie, we need a Biebs update. What's going on with the Biebs?
The Biebs is not as swole as he used to be.
That is true, he's not.
Got a little doughy.
He's gotten a little complacent.
I'd still change places, but you know.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. Despacito. I can do that. Come on, man. Come on, DJ Khaled. Make it happen.
DJ Khaled! We make the best music.
Best music. Here we go. It's Sam Witwicky. Sam Witwicky. We make the best music.
Witwickins.
Movie news, guys. Movie news. Yeah, I'm trying to add Optimus Prime to my list of. We have Bane, Optimus Prime, Jeremy Irons. I have Jeremy Irons, Optimus Prime.
And Bane is
Bane. Well, no, but yes, because there's
Bane is just Jeremy Irons because with first a off, fucking there's Jeremy cardboard Irons. Tuber on
Jeremy.
Your
it's Jeremy Irons the cardboard from Die Hard 3 is what I'm doing. And then I addition. Now I'm Bane all of a sudden, best man. Yes, that's correct. I'm Bane. But then I'm adding Sam Witwicky.
To the Optimus Prime, the Decepticons. Trying to be Optimus, it's not working.
But if I add nope. a little bit of, that's a little too much. If I add a Sam Witwicky,
no.
Sam Witwicky, the no. Decepticons, I've unleashed the seed.
No,
Cybertron,
a little bit more.
We are getting a little bit. Unicron has unleashed.
There we go.
Here we go, Sam Witwicky.
I'm getting there.
You work on it.
I'm working on it. And then this Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg is here to tell you to check out The Happening. It's a good movie, guys. Have you heard about the honeybees? It's an allegory about nature, guys.
The trees are trying to kill you, Chris.
The trees are trying to kill you because, you know, take them for... We got some movie news here, guys. The movie news segment brought to you by the Cinema Crespediso Facebook group, which Doug brought up in his email. I'm glad you're enjoying the Facebook group, Doug. Thank you very much. It's a fun group.
It is blowing the fuck up, Chris.
It is. That's surprising. Big Tim was right. I'm glad we talked
116 comments.
I need more suggestions from Big Tim on what to do because he knows what he's talking about. He suggested, Steve, that... Do you have a What's the Fuss group?
No, I just have.
We're gonna have to do one.
Should no, yeah. Seriously, I cannot believe
we're gonna have to do one because I've had a Cinema Crespediso page forever. It doesn't get any traffic, because of Facebook algorithms. They push groups over pages. Started up the page. Not even that many people in it, but it is super active. Someone's put up a suggestion post. Like within 30 minutes, had like over 150 comments, or it's a ridiculous amount of comments already that people got it on just this one post. So if you want in on the Cinema Crespediso group, search it on Facebook and we'll let you in. It's a closed group, but that's just to keep out the riffraff and the spammers and the flat earthers and shit. So
flat earthers. You have a big flat earther problem?
We all do. Steve, we all have a big flat earther problem.
If there is one person who credibly believes that the earth is flat, that lives on this planet, there's a big issue.
If one of us has a flat earther problem, we all have a flat earther problem.
Well, no, I know, but I mean, it sounded like it was common or something. Like,
close the group,
you'll get the flat earthers in there.
It's not as common as people are making it out to be, it's more common than it should be.
It's not as common as common appearing in movies featuring hitmen, but it is more common than it should be. That's for sure.
Correct.
Let's talk about some movie news. Jeremy Renner broke both of his arms making Avengers Infinity War.
Good for him.
Really?
Yeah, he broke it like a right elbow and a left wrist.
Do you know what he did?
Just doing a stunt. Didn't say exactly what the stunt was, but he did something.
Yeah, I want to know what the stunt is.
He did something wrong.
Something got fucked up. Something got fucked up somewhere, and he broke a left arm and a right wrist. Or maybe a left elbow and a right wrist. Something like that.
Okay.
Good for him.
But he broke, Avengers Infinity War. It's going to be worth it, guys. Yeah. When you watch the movie, you see Jeremy Renner jumping around. At some point.
At a certain point in time, you're going to see him wince in pain. Yeah. You're going to be like, that was it.
I was going to say, he's building it all up, and then like he tripped and fell during a scene of dialogue.
It's a scene of him cooking an omelet. How embarrassing. We're sticking with the comic book news for the movie segment, guys. For the movie news segment, Tom Holland had a funny little anecdote about shooting a scene where he shot a scene for Avengers Infinity War as Spider-Man in the new Avengers movie. And he talks about how he had to do a scene where he was fighting a bad guy without knowing who the bad guy was. He has no idea who it was.
Oh, that's awesome.
Quote, "Yeah, there is one moment in Avengers where I don't know who that person is, and I'm fighting him, and there's nothing more embarrassing than pretending to fight a, quote, monster in front of 200 people in spandex. You know, literally, like, dodging stuff and trying to web him, but they're all like, that's great, Tom, more energy, jump, jump," end quote. So that's what he's getting paid, six figures. He's getting paid six figures to make a jackass of himself in front of 200 Teamsters. Mm-hmm. Bunch of people who are like, look at this fucking idiot. He's getting paid way more money than we are. Mm-hmm. We're doing the hard work. And he's like, pew, pew, whoosh, 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 whoosh. I'd do that, though, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Just get paid to pretend?
I'll probably break my arms.
Yeah. Your left elbow and your right wrist?
Look, I was in a fight.
Oh, fuck, fuck this up.
With nobody, but...
Either of you guys ever watch Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Not even a single episode?
Nope.
Not one episode. Uh-uh. Not a moment.
I even went... I
You went out of your way to pretend the show didn't even exist. Is that what you're trying to say?
I went out of my way to see a clip because I went to high school with a girl that was in it.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Did she play a biker whore?
She was killed. I don't know.
good enough.
Dead biker whore 3.
Good, she enough. Was a big enough part that if you watched the show, you would know who she was.
Fair enough.
And she also did, what was it, having to do with the prison...
Oz.
Prison Break.
No, Orange is the New Black.
From the Writers of Lost.
The Writers of Lost and Alias.
No.
Star Trek. Tyler Perry, Star Trek.
That one that nobody... The Rock. They've never, like, escaped from.
Alcatraz.
Yes, thank you.
Alcatraz.
Yeah, but it was called Alcatraz.
It was called Alcatraz.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there was a show called Alcatraz, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And it got canceled for, like, a season.
Yeah. She was the main character.
Oh. She was the main character that got canceled after a season.
Yep.
Oh, and you know this person.
Huh?
Did she live around here?
No, not anymore. Nah. Dash lives in L.A.
Well, then the show's failed. She'll probably move back and then be a guest on the show. Shit. Breaking news. We got at Noriko 455, Ron from L.A. just sent us another tweet. This one, 10 seconds old. This is in response to... Oh, shit.
Wait,
it keeps going. Ron said race played a part in the date surprise because it's not default to think interracial couple are a thing, especially white male to black female. Only people who saw Spider-Man Homecoming knows what he's even talking about. Gabe then chimed in at Rage Against Twit. I was pleasantly swerved with that. Was waiting for how they would reconcile his family motivation with Spider-Man. Clever. Ron then chimes in. Mom was hot, so I can see dad getting with the swirl. But the fact it actual in a major movie is great. Hashtag representation matters. So if any of you can follow that interaction there, good for you. There's a lot going on.
Sweet.
I brought up Sons of Anarchy because they have a spinoff. Sons of Anarchy because they have a spinoff show.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy.
Sands Anarchy?
Sands. The Sands of Anarchy. There's a show.
Oh, I just thought it was Sands, like S-A-N-S. Sons Anarchy.
That's what I was exactly thinking.
So it's without anarchy?
In the Andy Serkis verse, the show is called Sons on Anarchy. Anarchy. On the Sons of Anarchy spinoff show is centered around the Mexican street biker gang featured in a show called The Mayans, right?
Okay.
And it's like after the events of Sons of Anarchy.
Sure.
It's a new show following the side gang. Okay. They've been like the bad guy gang for the 7 seasons that show was on.
Sure.
None of us have seen a single episode.
No.
They shot, I think, the pilot? The first episode, at least, they're recasting everyone. They're reshooting the whole thing. Like, this was a big fuck up.
Waste of time.
We're doing it again.
Okay, good for them.
But none of us have seen Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, so
no.
So no one cares.
Nope.
John Carpenter has 2 shows in the works. He's working on 2 horror TV shows. Will you watch a John Carpenter horror TV show?
It depends on what it is.
One is an anthology show where every season is a different story, and the second one is it's going to be a continuing story.
Like I said,
it depends on the continuing story. Oh, yeah, either story. Yeah, I need the story.
You guys, it depends.
I mean,
depends
the anthology. The
You're not on board just because it's John Carpenter. You want to see what's going on specifically?
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to horror, like, nobody... seems to be more of a, I don't care who you are, you can fuck this up.
Hey, listen, sure. You know John Carpenter made some fucking absolutely almost perfect movies. He also made a lot of shit.
Yep.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I would need more information.
Yeah.
Shit. That's true.
So,
shit.
Okay, yeah, so more information.
So both you guys, fair enough. Fair enough.
How about this? I'm interested to know more, Chris.
Okay.
Yes.
I have more information. I have more.
Go.
Oh, shit. That's the wrong button. I was going to hit this one. Nope. That's the wrong button. Well, I can hit that one. Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, no information. I have information. It doesn't matter. It's just like basic show. It doesn't. Not enough to sway you one way or the other at this point to tell you whether or not it's a show worth watching. I think the anthology one may be worth watching just because it's different people, different creators, different... If you fuck up a season, you can always bring it back for a second one. If you do a good season, you can fuck it up the second one. See True Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Etchy.
Sir.
We give you the questions. You give us the
answers. It's time for this.
Time for the lightning round.
Here we go. Lightning round time. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. You ready?
Yes.
Drew, set the clock.
Go.
Number 1. What's the fuss? Number 2. tidbits or bacon bits?
Tidbits.
Number three, poofed. Poofed?
Yes, poofed.
That's a hard. It's hard, it's hard to make that a question. I believe it's pronounced
poofed. It is. It is.
But how do you make that a question, though? Poofed. Poofed. That's a lot of body work.
Yeah.
I need the audio version of
Can't
the question.
Do that.
Exactly. Number four, was it all a dream?
Absolutely not.
Not?
No.
Number five, have you ever read Word Up magazine?
No, I never even heard of it.
Number six, open mic or... Drew got that one. Number six, open mic or closed circuit.
Closed circuit.
Closed circuit. Number seven, when was the last time you ate a hot dog?
That would be... Oh, God, I don't even know. But a long time ago, and I've only had two.
In your life?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
That's how Force Feed SU was started.
You have Force Feed, because you had that much of an aversion to hot dogs?
No, to food in general. That I hardly ever tried anything.
Uh-huh.
So even common foods, so that people would go, what? Like you just did?
Yeah.
And then I ended up trying it on the air. So I tried a hot dog on the experience, and I thought I was going to throw up. I was like 20.
Yeah, but what kind of hot dog did they give you?
I was like 28 at the time.
Some bullshit, like then, gross hot dog.
And that was my first hot dog. It was, I don't remember where they got it from, but
I bet you got you some bullshit.
Oh, I had like a really good one. Well, actually, I still hated it, but I mean, like, you know, like.
I bet you they got you some bullshit. Number nine. Nathan's is delicious. Number nine.
Yeah, this is what it was.
God damn it. Here we go. Number nine. One, two, three, four.
Five.
All right.
Okay. I didn't know that was the question.
No,
I'm like,
the question. Yeah, no, that was
yeah. Right. When as soon as you said four, I'm like, okay, go.
All right, and here we go. Number 10. Final question.
Okay.
Why?
Because I said so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Drew Brent got the swag bakery. Let's see what Etchy may want to go home with today. What we got over here? We got two bags, Steve.
I use these for birthdays.
You there's great stuff in these. We got the green bag, we got the flowery bag. Which one do you want?
I will do the green bag.
Okay, here we go. Green baggery, Drew. Break it out. Let's see what Etchy May Gay gets a home with. That's some good vodka club soda,
you've
guys.
You've got some graphics pizza cards. 68 stickers are included. They're scented pizza slices with topping pictures that you just put together. It's stupid.
The Decepticons have unleashed scented pizza stickers.
We've got some light up spinners. It's a bright LED light. What the fuck? Oh, okay. So it's like one of those rubber band things where it locks in the air and then it spins and it looks
And it's an LED light.
Yeah. It's a light up spinner.
Didn't have that one last time I had.
Oh, we got a grow and glow zombie. You put it in water and it grows, what, like 600? Oh, up to percent.
I think in the
that's a pretty big zombie.
Leave in the water for like days and it'll soak up all that water and it's super gross.
We got some Clover Valley fully cooked pulled pork in water, net weight 9.5 ounces.
Can of pulled pork, Steve. You're talking about not wanting to be adventurous and eat food. There's a can of meat that's good until 2018.
Some jokes and gags. Dog poo.
Dog poo. Don't eat that. That's plastic.
We
make a few sound with a can of meat, but it's similar.
Swervy Jones, koozie, some stickers from various podcasts around town.
All right. There's Steezy stickers and Cinema Crespediso stickers, a Swervy Brew House co-branded koozie. Steve, you know how it goes, man.
Yes. Oh, I tried pulled pork like last year, I think.
Did you really?
Yeah.
There's a can of it. I'm telling you, that stuff is good. What's the due date on the can?
It's not.
No, what's the due date?
I mean...
It says right there.
Is it edible? Yes.
Best by February 25, 2019.
Well, I mean, is it edible? Yes. Is it safe to eat? Yes. Is it going to taste good? No.
At first, when you said 25, 20, and then you didn't say 19, I was thinking 25, 20. I'm like, shit, man.
25, 20, but if it's 2019, it's pretty damn good. That is some edible-ass meat. You can take all that home, or...
You can take it to the box.
You take what's in the box. It's up to you. You take the bag of awesome shit with LED lights and cooked canned meat, or you take what's in the box. What's in the box?
I have to take the box.
We're taking what's in the box. Here we go. Go ahead. Pop the top. Reach in there.
The only reason I might regret it is because of that zombie.
That zombie thing is really cool. Oh. What we got?
I got a big coffee cup that says, "A balanced diet is a cake in each hand."
Nice.
I like it.
There we go. A big ass coffee mug that says a balanced diet is a cake in each hand.
Get it balanced?
Yeah, balanced.
That is, yeah, I like it. Plus, I want cake.
You know what? You know what good would go good in that coffee mug?
Cake.
A bunch of cake. Shredded meat. Pork. So we'll go ahead and give him the can of pork. Go ahead and give him the can of pork. You can have that as well. I know you said you wanted the zombie.
And it fits in the cup.
But instead you're getting the can of pork. I don't know. I don't know what you're gonna do with that. Don't you have a dog?
Not anymore. Thanks for reminding me.
I'm sorry. I'm
there you go.
Drew, where can people find you online again?
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Steve, where can people find you online?
You can Google me as Steve Etchy. You find all of my information for all my social media. The only thing you don't find is my email address, which is steve.etchy@gmail.com.
There you go. Email him. Ladies, email your titty pics to steve.etchy@gmail.com. Steve, go ahead and forward those to me.
And listen to What's the Fuss.
And listen to What's the Fuss, please, everyone. Listen to What's the Fuss. Email the show, cinemacrestofdiso@gmail.com. Rate us reviews on iTunes. Break up the big banks. Be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu Jamal. We'll be back next week with episode 236. Peace out.